Welcome to El Toddcast, aka New Dimension Comics Presents.
Thanks for bearing with us.
Yeah, sorry about everything being completely crazy and stuff. We are having some difficulties with the YouTube channel. We're just trying to get it working. You know, it's you know, it was the first trial out. Apparently we screwed it up already. So anyway, we're gonna do this on our traditional Facebook style. And you know, we're gonna hope to have it up. It might be up tomorrow. It might be it might be, you know, next week, but soon we will totally do that. So, anyway, how are you, Tim?
I'm good.
That's good. That's good.
We had a good Facebook live sale, and it's a really nice day, and I was off. So, yeah. How about you?
Rocking
the Hawkeye shirt.
I am rocking the Hawkeye shirt, and kind of the haircut. Like, this is like the kind of the haircut the he Ronin. Had when he was Ronin. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't give you hope sooner, John.
No, it's
in regards to YouTube.
I spent a lot of my day today catching up on some comics, catching up on all kinds of other stuff. Played my guitar for the first time in a long time, and let me tell you, trying to remember how to play all of Metallica's "Kill 'Em All" is a workout.
Yeah, I'm like a always huge workout struggles. So. Yeah, I struggle with that a lot.
I got through like Seek and Destroy, and I was like, "Yep, I think I'm done." So then I put on the Offspring's "Ixnay and Yombre," which is my favorite Offspring record.
Yeah, I mean, if you can play any of those, more power to you, because I only do four buttons on Guitar Hero. I never do the fifth. I told my buddy the only time I do all five buttons on Guitar Hero is if I'm playing Foghat Slow Ride.
Right.
So if you can do real guitar and real strings,
yeah,
well, you're better than me.
If I can ever get this this thing working, I actually have like a theme. Like, if you ever listen to some of the older episodes and you hear the theme songs on here, those are all me.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote them and performed them. So, yeah. All right.
Take it easy.
Exactly. All right. So, some upcoming events. April 4th, we got the Mills anniversary sale. 10% off toys, graphic novels. Toys, graphic novels, and statues and gaming stuff. And then 20% off regular back issues and Silver Age wall books. That does not compound with the 50-50. If you're trying to do a 50-50, it's just going to be 50%. It doesn't compound with your regular discount if you get a standing discount. But it's going to be a good time. It's Easter Eve. Sorry. So it's April 3rd. My bad. April 3rd. Easter Eve. Most of the stores are going to be closed on Easter, by the way. So if you're trying to get Easter stuff, don't come out on Easter Day. Elwood, I think, is the only store that's going to be open. So you can go up and visit Josh. He'll be the only one there. You can dig dollar books all day. Try to find those Easter eggs. Ah,
ooh.
Terrible jokes. So that's pretty much it. And then Three Rivers Light is kicking butt, man. Like, we are sold out of the... if you're a vendor looking to vend at the show, we are sold out of under the tents that are provided space. So we do have some space for people that want to bring their own tents and set up that way in the parking lot too. So if you want to apply for that, go for it. You can go to ThreeRiversComicCon.com and check out the application right there. Super easy. That'll be May 22nd and 23rd, somewhere in the waterfront parking lot. So check it out. All right. Let's talk some comics, because comics are fun. So I'm going
to
start.
The good news is I was able to get through a good bit of this Teen Titans Academy while we're trying to figure out YouTube. I have the general gist without giving anything away. So
why don't you go first then? And then with that one, okay. And then since we don't have any graphics for it. So
yeah, I got the book here too. I can hold it up. So Teen Titans Academy number one. I'm super excited for this because DC, I think, has been doing a really good job since Infinite Frontier started. And that says something because I've been really hard on DC lately with their comics. So that should tell you how good this stuff is that they're doing. I was excited for this because I liked Red X from Teen Titans, the cartoon. So knowing that he was going to be a canon character and being a Teen Titans fan, I was like, yep, I'm all in on this. So it starts out with the original Teen Titans, and they have started a school in the Tea Tower, which is also awesome. I'm glad they did it. I don't care how silly it is. It's Teen Titans. It's awesome. So they take a boat there, Harry Potter style. Really cool. They have an orientation. Everybody's hanging out. You're kind of getting introduced to everybody. They get these generic uniforms that are kind of like Fantastic Four-esque. They're blue and black with a yellow T on the chest. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of intro, kind of in the same way as Strange Academy number one was, of the teachers, of the different students. And I think the thing that I really liked about this was it's all different, like, Teen Titans. There's like some from the New 52, some from the one that they just did, like Crush is in there. So there's all kinds of different ones. And I thought it was pretty cool that they worked those in with the original ones that we all love. And they're smiling and having a good time. And it's nice to see people like doing stuff and some lightheartedness in, some DC books. I mean, I'll show you a real quick shot of they're having a birthday party.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
the original Titans are like the teachers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They run the school, the teachers. So the stuff with Red X, you'll see, pick up the issue. You'll get to see what happens with that. I think he's going to be a really cool character. But it was fun to read a Teen Titans book in this style. I almost think it works a little better in this style than Strange Academy does. And it was great to see some fun lightheartedness, but still setting up a good story towards the end that looks like it could be a little dark or serious. So that is one to check out. And if you can find this awesome cover by Jamal Campbell, I would pick this one up because his artwork is fire. So awesome.
What was the other one that was it the infinite thing, the Red X book? Like was there a Red X book, or was there another one with him on it, and it actually says like the first time he's been in comic books ever on the front.
Yeah, yeah. So it was the Future State one.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah.
So make sure you catch up that one too, because that's technically the first one because it says it right on the cover.
Yep.
So all right. That's cool. I dig it. All right. My first book is Shadow Doctor number two. So I talked about the first one a while ago. This is a historical piece book that's based in some actual historical fact. It starts out with a flashback of our of the main character, Nate, who follows this he's a young black man in it, and he follows a young white girl to a very bizarre tree that had this weird fruit, and then they ate the fruit and then they made out and did it under the tree, in which case his dad or uncle or someone grabs him and is like, do you know what you did? Because this is like 1940 or 1924 in Alabama. Not great by those standards. Today, whatever. But then that was not a thing that was going to be good for somebody, especially in Alabama. So he's like, that was the last time I set foot in Alabama, and they shipped him off to Chicago. to live with somebody else, go to school. So then cut to the now where he's hanging out with Scarface, who he's working with, and he's trying to pitch him to give him $2,000 to start a clinic. Scarface says no. He left all defeated. Then Scarface and his brother are fighting in a kitchen with their mom while they're cooking dinner. And, you know, the brother leaves. The mom's kind of like, you know, who was the guy that left? Like, he was a handsome young man. He looked really sad, like your dad did at one point. He looked really defeated, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then, then there's like a scene where Scarface meets his wife. If this is a true story about how he meets his wife, it is super cheesy and kind of romantic at the same time. He sees her and he drops a piece of paper beside her, and he picks it up and he's like, "Excuse me, miss, you dropped this." She goes, "What is it?" And he goes, "The date of our wedding." And like,
that's smooth.
And he's like, "You know, considering we're getting married, I figured I'd better know your name."
That's pretty smooth.
You know, and he's like, "I'm Al Capone." She's like, not really having it, doesn't give him his name. And as she walks away, his brother's like, she's way above your station. Like, there's no way you're ever going to get this girl. And he's like, wait for it. Wait for it. And she's walking away. And then she turns around and goes, there it is. I'm like, I can't believe that worked. If that's real, like, if that's a real story, that's crazy.
Carl said, "You've clearly never been to Alabama today." No. And then laughed.
I actually have been to Alabama, but not for more than like a day or two. It's usually been like a pit stop. Anyway,
bless your heart.
Getting back to the book. And then it kind of cuts to Scarface getting Nate to go to a jazz club with him, and then he gives him $1,000 and a building, and he just goes, "Here's $1,000, start a clinic. It's very small, but just do it. Just do it. I'm not giving you a loan. You don't want to have to pay me back. Just take it and go." And he's like, "Oh man, I've never seen $1,000. This is crazy." And he's walking out, and as he walks out, the building explodes. And that's where it leaves off. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out the rest of the way. And then in the backer, what's also cool is a little teaser for Project Patreon. Project Patron from Steve Orlando, which actually was kind of cool. It kind of reminded me of Apollo from The Authority. So,
look at that. 8 people.
Holy crap. Are you serious?
Yeah. No.
Wow. Yeah. Holy geez.
Remember, our goal was like 10. We're getting there.
Was it 10 or 12? I can't remember.
It was 10, but I think I'm one of them because I'm watching comments. So kind of 7.
Oh, so am I. So 6, but I mean, whatever. I'll take it.
I'll never tell.
All right. You ready to talk about, looks like Cable first, right?
Yeah, let's do Cable. All
right.
They're both, all the books that I read were great this week. So this is Cable number 9. This is finally starting to pick up now that we're a couple issues past the Ten of Swords crossover. And previously in Cable, he was rescuing some babies from mutant sympathizers, but they're extremists also. It's kind of like a reverse Striker situation. So he's working on saving these babies and then finds out that it looks like Strife is a part of this in some way. Neat. And this does not make him happy because he has already, as we saw years ago, killed himself because he thought that the older Cable was not doing the job and leaving loose ends on things. So he's not too excited about this loose end that he didn't know was there. Right. It opens up with him and Esme, who are, I think that's how you say her name. She's one of the Stepford Cuckoos.
Yeah.
And they are actually in the Hydra or the AIM beekeeper suits. No, that's them. You're good.
Okay.
And AIM, they've infiltrated AIM submarine that is trying to go into Krakoan water, and they're trying to stop them. So that's why you see this beekeeper on the right. It's like, hey, that's a no-go zone. And then Cable in the middle is like, you're a no-go zone, which I thought was just hilarious. There's a lot of really good humor in this book. So that's him and Esme, and they're going to end up basically stranding them down there for a few hours to make them rethink ever coming back into Krakoan waters. He's going to meet up with Domino and ask for help, which is kind of awkward. This is him talking about, you know, cleaning up his mess. And him and Domino are in Japan getting some food together. And this is a very awkward, you know, to see them two to get together, because old man Cable and Domino had a relationship.
Right.
So for him to be like, hey, I'm like 20 years younger now, and then she's meeting up with him, it's very awkward, but like in a fun way in this book, because she's kind of just like shooting him down, even though he's not like making any advances or anything. She's like, yeah, no. So he's asking for help, and she's trying to explain her powers and how her powers work to him, which, you know, we all know that she has kind of like good luck powers, but she's talking about how luck, something that happens creates a reaction, and she operates in that space in between, and that's how her powers work. And he eventually is going to hook up with Hope, which I think do we have a shot of that? Oh no, I'm sorry, before Hope we have this was great. So he first goes to Magic, and he's trying to get her help, hoping that she can find out where Strife is located. So they go into you know, her demon world, and this is her in a prison. She has a demon that she thinks may have answers for Nathan, and he didn't. So she goes, okay guys, back to work, these recorders aren't going to play themselves. And
that is the torture.
Oh. And they are singing I Would Walk 500 Miles to the demon, and it's hilarious. So then he ends up going to Hope and asking her for help, and this is also awkward. So there's a lot of interesting confrontations going on in this book, because Hope was raised by Cable. He's
right.
Cable is her father, essentially. So to have this guy that's younger than you or the same age as you, that's your dad, and he's asking her for help. So, you know, right. Not to give away the ending or anything, this is all about his journey to find Strife and what he's going to do next. The teaser, the stinger at the end is great. It'll keep you reading it. It'll definitely get you to come back for the next issue. And I think this has been one of the more fun, loose X-Men titles that's out there right now. So this was
that's awesome.
Very good book.
I dig it. All right. My next book is Alien One from Marvel.
Ooh, look at that cover.
Dude. So I like... I'm a hit or miss Alien fan. Like, I'm not a huge, like, oh my God, I need to watch every one of the movies fan. Like, I enjoy them. I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I was not a big fan of the comics before, but I picked this up on a whim. And I love the art because it's Salvador LaRocca, who did all of the Invincible Iron Man run with Matt Fraction.
He did the Star Wars when Star Wars got rebooted. Yep.
I like his art a lot.
He seems to be the guy too, just that they always go to when they want to do like something that looks like the characters.
Yeah.
To get people to like connect. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
No, it's cool. He's got a very like his style like really hits people's faces right. And that's what I like. But it starts like it's kind of a cool story. Like there's like a retiring general who's kind of lost his shit. And because he had to deal with an alien attack, and this is post Alien 2, I believe, or Aliens, I guess I should say, because it takes place in 2200. So So he comes back to Earth and he's talking to a bishop because like all the bishops are interlinked, right? And they're all like the like psychologists kind of, right? And he comes back to Earth and you find out that one of his sons have died and he's trying to make amends with his other son. So he has him over for dinner. And the son is actually like a pseudo terrorist. Like he is like a domestic terrorist where he doesn't think that the military and the people that were his dad was working for are good people. So he steals some kind of codes from his dad's bedroom while he's there for the dinner. The dad really wants to talk to him about how his brother died and what he saw, including the aliens, and the kid doesn't want to hear about it. So they kind of have a fight. It was very well written, like a very like screw you dad, like I don't even care. And the dad kind of dealing with the fact that his son is just kind of, you know, not having it. So then cut to like they keep having these flashbacks of the like when they were caught up with the aliens, and they're like super gorgeous like pages of just amazing art. And he was the lone survivor, like including his son who died. So then he goes and talks to another bishop, and the bishop's like, yeah, maybe your kid's just not ready, but you should probably tell him, or else you're probably not gonna be able to deal with anything. So then it cuts from there to the space station Epsilon, and the security guys are there and they're like, hey, something just docked. And they're like, what do you mean? They think it's like a robot. And she's like, no, it's not a robot. So she goes over to the cargo bay and opens the door. And there's an extremely graphic gunshot panel page. That is really, really good. And you find out that it's the son and his domestic terrorist cell / rebel / freedom fighter, whatever you want to call them. I guess it's very similar to like the people who break into like animal testing labs, like that kind of a thing, right?
Okay.
So they break into the station and they get into this room and all of a sudden they find a whole bunch of baby xenomorphs in tubes. And then they meet these scientists. The scientists lock the place up and all kinds of hell breaks loose. And it's a perfect setup for the second book. And I loved every second of it.
Nice.
It was so good. So good.
Would you say like, so like I've never been a fan of the Alien movies. If I'm not, and I wanted to give that book a chance, or for anybody that's not, is it a place that somebody can jump in, or is it meant more for like, hey, this is, if you're an Alien fan, this is the book you've been waiting for. Like we're doing something cool, but not really much room to get to jump in for new people. Like, how would you say?
I think that if you at least know, at least kind of know a little about aliens, like if you've like maybe just watched just the first movie, and you understand the concept of how they work, then you're going to be fine. Because it patches enough backstory with these flashbacks that you see things that are going on. And it kind of ties in with the style of the first two movies, obviously, since Bishop is there. So it really works. I think that I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Like I said, I'm not a huge Aliens fan. I of the Aliens and Predators together, I liked Predator more, but Aliens was, the first two Alien movies were great. After that, it got a little weird, I think.
Yeah, so. Well, you're going to get your wish because there's a Predator book that's supposed to come out at some point because they own Predator now too, I think. Yep. So
yeah, no, Dark Horse losing all the fun stuff. So
yeah, Marvel pulling a Disney and just snagging everything.
I know, right? It's crazy. So, all right, on to your third book, I guess.
Third book, yeah, third.
Yep. Bat Super.
So
I love this cover, just so you know.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Well, it's Ivan Reyes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, his artwork is just awesome. But I was worried that maybe I wasn't going to understand where this book was going because it's Batman Superman number 16. I didn't really read the first 15 because I wasn't a fan of the Batman Who Laughs, and it was a lot of tie in with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, let's give this a shot and see where this goes. The two worlds, two heroes thing is really cool. So the way this starts out is you're getting a little bit of a story. The lady on the cover, her name is Spider Lady, or at least they keep calling her Spider Lady. And then there's the unknown in the back right corner. Mm-hmm. And you will learn who these two characters are later. But they do something really cool in this. Two worlds, two heroes. The whole book has panels that wave across the top that look like film. And the top is going to be, like, this is a great panel. Yeah, so the top panel is Superman. The bottom one is Batman. And I tried reading this two different ways. I tried reading it like, okay, let me read Superman straight through across the top. And then let me go back and read Batman. And it actually does read better if you just do page to page and read each person's. Mm-hmm. So to start with Superman. What's going on is you're basically, this is a new Earth that we don't know. And you're getting an introduction into this Batman and this Superman.
Okay.
And this was, I screenshot this one because I thought this was a fun panel. He's on top of a car and he peeks down and he's like, boo. And I'm like, that's hilarious to me. There was some good humor in this book, but it also had some edge to it. And you're learning some things. For example, in this Batman world, or in the Superman world, I'm sorry, Bruce Wayne and his mother is still alive. And she is currently dating Alfred. They're sitting out, he goes, he references to her as my love, and she's like, not now, we're in public. but this is the unknown character, and you'll see who he is. Pick up the book, you'll be able to see who he is. It's pretty cool. But I just thought this was an awesome scene because Superman's like kind of fed up with what's going on in previous pages, and he's like, surrender now. And the guy's just like, okay, sorry, because he sees that Superman's like, all right, I'm not effing around now. Like, we're going to stop what's going on. So
it looks like Lex Luthor, though. Just saying.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say.
way to go.
So, but it's a really cool setup of these two characters, which, you know, have some similarities to the Batman and Superman that we know in the current universe, but they aren't. And it was a lot of fun reading it and trying to pick up on the differences. It looks like it's going to go someplace cool. It wraps up with the Earth Zero, our Batman and Superman, discovering something exist? Sort of, yeah, in a way, not so much that straightforward, but I like what this book did. I like what it did with the film strips. There's even a point where, because these are two different realities, the Batman mm-hmm. reality and the Superman, they're not in the same universe.
Oh.
And at one point, the film starts to melt and it bubbles over into the other one.
So that's how they become one universe.
And that's where the two worlds become one.
Another crisis. Here we go.
So I don't know if it's going to be that much, but it's pretty interesting. It'll be interesting to see, like, okay, if it was film, like, how does that translate into, like, you bleeding over into this world and staying? Right. So I'm interested to see where it goes, but the writing was great. The art was great. I really dug the interesting way that they told the story. Mm-hmm. And like DC right now, I have like early 2000s is like where I was really getting into DC a lot, mm-hmm. with the secret or the identity crisis. And I'm starting to get like these exciting vibes now from the Infinite Frontier stuff, just from the stuff that I've read. So right. everybody gave him a lot of heat over the people that they fired and the downsizing, but it looks like what they're doing is actually working. And that's awesome for the books. So
I hope so.
I'm excited to see, you know, where they keep going. I'm trying different ones. Like I have Harley Quinn and the artwork looked fun on that. So, you know, try some of these new DC books because you might be surprised. You know, if you didn't like Future State, this might be more your cup of tea. So.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check out a couple of them. I just haven't figured out which books I want to read yet.
So. Yeah.
All right. My last book, and this is a bit of a teaser because you can't actually buy the book yet, is Magic. Ooh. Number one. It's based in Magic the Gathering. Number one. This is the Ashcan edition. All of our stores were sent them. Were sent one. I paid $40 for mine out of the one store. So don't think that we get super awesome privileges. I totally paid $40 for this book. And it is freaking awesome. Like, if you are a Magic the Gathering fan or you just like fantasy-style reading, this book focuses on four planes, or mostly three planeswalkers out of the city, or the city plane of Ravnica. Ravnica as a whole, as its entire plane, is just a bunch of cities. And they're made into guilds. So it focuses on three guild leaders, Kaya, the ghost assassin, who's a black, white Orzhov person, Raul Zarek, who is the Izzet red blue, the Izzet league leader. And then Veraska, the queen of the downtrodden, who is black green. If you've played the colors. So Raul Zarek is on the left. Kaya's on the bottom. And Veraska is the one who kind of looks like Medusa because she actually does have snakes for hair. And then Jace Balorin is in the background and he shows up later in the issue.
I know, Jace.
And the freaking art in this book, dude. Like,
who is it? The same artist that did the cover?
The artist is Ig Guiera. Iggura. And the story is pretty cool. Like, these assassins all attack all three of those guild leaders at once. And Kaya just doesn't care. She just kills them all because she's an assassin herself. Raul Zarek, because he's invested in science and stuff, keeps one alive. But like unleashes a juggernaut that he made, like basically like a giant cyborg juggernaut on them. Veraska turns them all to stone and breaks them apart because she is pretty much Medusa. But some of the assassins that were sent to her had their eyes sewn shut so they couldn't turn to stone. So she just takes a big sword and kicks their ass anyway. So then they bring in at the end, they have to, you're going to question this person. So what better in the world of Magic than to have a white blue guild leader? Cause white and blue are a white blue person would basically be like your form of like Lady Justice. So Lavina comes in and she's from the Azorius Senate and she comes in and tries to talk to the guy. The guy won't talk. They bring in Jace Balorin. Jace can actually go into someone's mind and rob them of their thoughts. Like, that's why he's called the Mind Sculptor. Like, he can do that. So he tries to do that, and he sees some crazy stuff, and that's how it ends for the first issue. And then, like, there are awesome covers coming.
Oh, wow.
Like, this one's a Liliana. This one's a Soren. Here's two.
So like, I don't play Magic and I don't know Magic. So obviously if you're a Magic fan, you're going to go, wow, that
check out this one. Awesome. This is Inhug Lee, man.
Yeah. I was going to say some of those look like him or the, Yoon.
The other one, the one across from the Inhug Lee was Yoon. And then there's an Adolfa one.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That dude's awesome.
So there's a lot of cool stuff. If you're into Magic, this book is going to beat the hell out of all the old Marvel or Tops and IDW stuff. All the IDW stuff was good. This book was awesome. It comes out in April. So if you want to pre-order it, you should probably reach out to the stores now and talk, because it is so good. So good.
If I don't, I'm more excited for this book
than I've been in a long time.
If I don't know Magic, am I able to jump in and read it? Because obviously the white, blue, and the different colors, that's going to be like a great little thing for anybody that's proficient in Magic and knows it. But if I don't, am I still going to be able to go in and read it and enjoy it? Did it seem like that? Because the artwork looks fantastic.
Cool. At least if the rest of the books are like this, it gives you enough a little bit of a backstory to give it life, to where you understand the characters at least a little bit, or you can kind of be like, okay, this is set in a very large world. We're just going to focus on a little bit of it. And that's the good part. And it really focuses down to like what they actually are about as those characters.
The lore of Magic always fascinated me, but I'd never got into the game. So
if you're into the lore, it's going to make it a million times better.
And it's a Boom Studios book, who's just been like turning up the heat lately. I just finished Berserker. I finally got my copy. That book was nuts. So Boom Studios, like, don't take them for granted, because they're they're turning it on.
They gave new life to Power Rangers, to Buffy. You know, and Firefly. Like, well, the whole Whedonverse, really. Minus Dollhouse. So. It's really good. Like, I was impressed. Like, when I saw the art, I was impressed. When I heard the story as a person who plays Magic, I was like, yeah, I need to buy this book. It's freaking awesome. And then I read it and was like, holy crap, this was good. But the art was killer. The art is just so killer. I don't know if that's still floating around at your store, but if it's not, I can send you some pictures of the interior. You can probably find them online.
I think Tim's reading it. Now he got it and he wanted to read it, and then I told him, I was like, well, let me know when you're done with it, because it looked pretty cool. So
yeah, it's, if you're into like fantasy, or like even if you're into like D&D, because you know, Magic is fantasy like D&D, it's gonna be a good read for you. It's not as crazy of a fantasy world as D&D, but it does work out very well, and the structure of the structure of the characters is very well done, in my opinion. So
cool.
I like it. So, all right.
Nice.
So,
and those are all this week. So come down and pick them up at our comic shop, or any support local.
Except for Magic. You can pre-order it, though. It comes out in April.
Yeah.
And if you get in there now, you might actually make sure we can get you one. But hopefully everybody gets it. So, all right. So a little bit of news, a little bit of comic industry news today. So Marvel announced today that they are changing their distributor to Penguin Random House from Diamond.
Wow.
So what does this mean for you as the shopper? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. For us at the shop, it means in 6 months, we got to switch over how we're ordering. That's literally it. They're still going to distribute through, or they're still allowing Diamond to distribute books for them, but they have, like, now instead of Diamond being the hub of where they're at and then them distributing to everybody else, they flip-flop with Penguin Random House, and now Penguin will house everything and Diamond will buy them as a wholesaler and then sell them out. Because right now it's the other way around. Diamond has it, Penguin buys from Diamond, and then they sell out to Penguin's people. But now it's going to flip-flop to where Penguin holds it and Diamond can carry it, and then we do that. It's very similar to like a gaming distributor. Like, we carry, we have a lot of gaming distributors. So we can't buy direct from, say, Wizards of the Coast anymore. We have to buy it from a middle party. So that middle party is just changing. Again, if you're a reader, doesn't really change anything so far, but it doesn't really take effect till October. I don't know if this is a good or bad thing yet. I don't really think it's going to change much for anybody, except, like I said, it just changes how and when we order stuff. But
so does that, so does our stuff will come from Penguin then?
The Marvel stuff will start coming from Penguin. Yeah.
I kind of like that. I gave DC a hard time about it when they did it, but then now looking at how Lunar stuff comes, I mean, the variants and stuff come a lot more well protected because it's one company focusing on that, you know, focusing on the DC stuff. So hopefully that means that like even the Marvel stuff will come even, you know, just as nicely protected. So it can be frustrating sometimes with Diamond. So, but that's a lot of stuff that you have to pack up and put out weekly, you know, yeah. So errors are always going to happen, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting to follow.
I'm curious to see how it all really hits up, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah. So, but that again, if you're for a reader, this doesn't really do anything to you at all. It mostly is shop news, just so you know. But
yeah,
you know, I don't like. At least they're giving us a 6-month warning this time, unlike DC that gave us like a 2-week warning. So yeah. It's going to be plenty of time for us to get everything set up and ready to go to take your orders starting. I believe that means that the it'd be like the August orders would have to go through Penguin Random House. So really it's like a 4-month window, not a 6-month window, but either way, doesn't really affect you, only really affects us. So all right.
And nothing about like changing the day like that they're released on. Like I remember when you know,
not yet, the at DC. Least.
Okay.
I honestly don't think they'll change that.
I'd be surprised if they did too.
I would be really surprised. The only other thing that kind of sucks for on our end, and this is the same kind of thing that happened with DC, is instead of us processing one big order, now we're processing another smaller order. So that's more annoying on our end, but again, that's an our end thing, not a your end thing as a reader. So yeah.
Quit talking about my end.
Hey-o. I will talk about all the ends.
NC-17.
Great. exactly. So, okay. And so Falcon Winter Soldier episode 1 came out last week. What were your initial thoughts on it?
So it was definitely a different pace from WandaVision, which is great because now with these TV shows, they can, you know, when you do a movie, it's like, okay, what's the story? Let's drive that story with all these heroes plugged in. Now they can focus on what each individual hero has, even more so. So you got how crazy Wanda was. This was action, like, right out of the gate. I mean, we had an awesome scene that was like, this is TV, like this isn't in the movies. And I loved that opening scene. I liked how they set up both stories. So I liked the PTSD kind of thing with Bucky and going to therapy. There was some real serious stuff there, but also some good humor. Mm-hmm. And then I really enjoyed Falcon's part, you know, finding out that he had a sister, that his parents owned like a shrimp, you know, boat, that he had nephews, like this whole world that we didn't know about. And watching that, I thought was a really good setup to him because he's trying to be the hero for her and help her out in this story, while also saying like, I don't want to be Captain America. Captain America, it should only be one Captain America.
Right.
So he's turning down a hero role, but taking on a different hero role. So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was fun. It wasn't as crazy as WandaVision. It was a little bit more tame, I guess, is I was thinking. There's some cool Easter eggs in there. I thought the Flag Smasher stuff was really cool. I love that guy that they got to play U.S. Flag or U.S. Agent. I was like, this guy looks so goofy. They picked a guy that looks so dumb that you'd want to hate him, because that's how you're supposed to feel about that guy, because he just shows up in Avengers. He's like, I'm an Avenger now. The government said so.
No, he never said he was an Avenger. They just said he was Captain America. But he looks a lot like West Quentin Coast. Tarantino. So.
Yeah. He also looks a lot like the old guy from Up. Somebody did a meme of that.
Oh, there's a lot of them. I've seen a lot of them. Awesome. They're pretty crazy.
What did you think?
So I thought the first 10 minutes were such a beautiful salute to Winter Soldier, like the movie The Winter Soldier. Having Batroc back, who's one of my all-time favorite shitty villains, was awesome. The fallout of the plane, and then the fight scene in the fight scene in the air was cool. The fly through the canyon thing was cool, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this same canyon in like three different things now.
It felt like the one that they used in the Ang Lee Hulk, where he was running through.
But
like
I think it's also the same one they used in a Star Wars movie too. So
okay,
and possibly Independence Day. I don't know. Yeah. There's a couple I can think of that have multiple same canyon. I really liked Bucky trying to assimilate to reality, because basically his only friend is now dead. Like his longest friend, I guess, is dead. And him having a notebook and a list now is kind of cool. Yeah. Like Steve had the list. So I thought that was cool. I thought him going on the date was really awesome. Mm-hmm. And like, I really thought the Flag Smashers / the Hand, because we don't really know what they're going to be, but they're going to Madripoor. So I'm thinking we're going to find out it's the Hand, and Flag Smasher is just the guy in head of it. But I'm curious to see what goes on. I think my hopes for this are going to be that Falcon is Captain America by episode 3. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, he's like, I can't do this, and gives it to Bucky.
Yeah.
I will cry if that happens, because I love the stories with Bucky Cap. Like,
yeah.
He was really my first, really like the Captain America I got invested in, because like growing up, like Cap was there, but he was kind of hit or miss. And there was like, he was still like Nomad-y, and then he was US agent. And then, you know, John Walker became US agent, and Cap went back to being Cap. And then Cap died. And then when I got back, like right when Cap died is actually when I started getting back into comics, like a lot. So that's why, like, I loved that Brubaker run, that Captain America Brubaker run,
yeah, it's awesome.
Civil War.
That got me into Captain America. Cause like growing up, it was just like, Captain America, patriotism, whatever. This is like boring old people stuff. But like that run, and when I first found out about like Winter Soldier and stuff, you're just like, whoa, this is insane. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. This character's been dead for this long, and he brings it back. So that was one of the things that, like, even though Winter Soldier is my favorite Marvel movie, that was one of the things that kind of was off about it, was you don't get that like powerful reveal, because, you know, you had the first one, then a couple years later, the second one. You don't have 80 years of waiting, and then this character pops up out of nowhere.
Right.
So
I did think it was a cool thing for those who did not read the comics to find out that. So I was talking to somebody who said they were actually in a theater watching it, and like somebody was like, oh my God, it's Bucky, I can't believe it. Like, they didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Come on.
That was my dad. My dad had no clue, because he doesn't read comics, and he was like starting to loosely get into like the Marvel universe. And that was the first one that I saw in the theaters that I took him to. And he was just kind of blown away. He's like, what the heck? So yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty much what it was pretty much what I wanted out of the first episode. It was enough setup to kind of get the idea. The idea is going to be the main plots are going to be Bucky's redemption, Falcon taking care of his family, and somebody not the U.S. agent being Captain America.
Or and Zemo, because he's got a role.
Yeah, and Zemo's going to be tied in somehow. I think he's going to be the leader of the Flag Smashers. That's just me. Unless he actually is U.S. agent, which would be really funny.
I wouldn't be surprised if the second or third episode focuses almost solely on Zemo and how he escapes and how he's able. Because remember, last we saw him, he was locked up, D23.
But we may not find that out until the last or second to last episode, like in WandaVision. Yeah. You know, we didn't find out about Agnes until... officially find out about Agnes until then. So there's very good possibility that we may not find out until then, and they could do the same kind of formula.
There's only six episodes in this season. Yeah. So it's going to move. I would imagine it's going to move quick. I mean, I'm hoping 40, 50, if it's only going to be six episodes, I'm hoping 40, 50 minutes before credits, you know, for every episode would be nice.
That was another thing I noticed. So they're doing them in the same amount of time that if you were to watch a show without commercials, like a show that would air without commercials, it's pretty much that 45 to 50 minute.
Yeah. So that's like a 1 hour show with commercials.
Right.
Taken out.
So
my
thought is they are already preparing. They filmed these with the idea of syndication happening later. So at some point we're going to see these on like ABC, or we're going to see them on some kind of streaming or some kind of cable, like rebroadcasting thing.
I mean, it would be smart, you know, like if you didn't buy into Disney Plus because you were like, I'm not sure. Or you're one of those people that's still not like fully invested in Marvel. Like we're still tied to cable. Like it would be smart if a year or two down the line, they were like, hey, let's throw this on ABC, you know.
Well, I mean, some extra ratings. CBS did that with Star Trek Discovery. Yep. You know, they waited till season three started to put season one on.
I just finished season one.
I'm still halfway through season one because I'm watching it on CBS because I don't have the Paramount app and I'm not good at it.
I just signed up for the free month and I'm trying to blow through it before the free month.
I would just completely skip over to Picard and start there, but.
I'm thinking they're only 13 episodes or so I'm thinking hopefully I can get through all three seasons and through Picard, and maybe even I might keep it for 1 month just to blow through old episodes of Ink Master, because while COVID's going on, Ink Master's not happening, and me and my wife really miss Ink Master right now because that was one of the shows we watched religiously together. I don't have any tattoos, but I feel like I know so much about tattoos because of that show.
My wife and I used to watch that too. And I watched it mostly for Dave Navarro. So,
oh, absolutely.
That dude's so awesome. It's so weird.
You look at him and you're like, oh, that guy, I don't know. He seems like a really cool, genuine, like,
I heard he's like one of the nicest dudes out there. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But all right.
Off topic, but yeah.
Yeah. I was like reining it back in. Since we have another episode tomorrow, which
Declan Shalvey will be here.
At this point, it's pretty much going to be an entire episode just interviewing him, and seeing how things are going with him. I'm going to try to keep Tim on task so that he doesn't go into complete tangents or
I've put his foot in his mouth too hard,
but you know,
I've been watching some interviews and, you know, I know him cause I know his art. So I've been, you know, watching some interviews and different things, but I kind of like, okay, here's an itinerary just so like keep myself on task. But like everybody that's watching, or if you're going to watch tomorrow, bring some questions, cause maybe we can open up like the last couple minutes to like, to user questions, you know, be fun. So,
yep. We're going to try to figure the YouTube thing out by tomorrow, but if not, it'll just be on Facebook again. So just keep yourself posted.
Keep both apps open up on your phone or however you watch.
Look for notifications. So if not, you can always watch it on everything we do on the Facebook. Like this episode is going to be uploaded to YouTube by the end of the night. So So all good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks guys. We're going to cut it a little bit short since we started a little late and And we have another whole episode tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow for part two of bonus week. And then we'll be good. I have a couple more. I'm hopefully going to have the itinerary of the rest of the guests set up by tomorrow too. So hopefully we'll be able to announce all that.
It'd be cool if we could get a graphic that was like a stamp that said bonus week. And it was like, bonus week. And it just did that sound. We're I'll not there yet. So just imagine it, guys. Okay. Right. Bonus week.
Exactly. Bonus week. All right, cool. Have a good night, guys. And we'll see everybody tomorrow for episode 2 in bonus week.